Welcome to Chapter 1. In this chapter, we're going to talk a little bit about the American court system, how the courts are structured, some of the courts we'll be talking about during this semester, a little bit about some of the justices, and some legal definitions and other sources of the law. This is divided into two sections. We're going to start with the idea that the United States is a litigious nation. Litigious is a fancy way of saying suing. We sue each other. We all sue each other. I believe the last statistic I looked at, there were three state court cases that were active for every person in the United States, and that's not even including the federal courts. One of the things that students will often ask is, how come there's not case law about this? Or how come we don't have outcome about that? And one of the answers is, in order for there to be a case, someone has to sue. The courts are reactive institutions. They don't simply reach out and take questions they think need to be solved. They wait for someone to bring cases to them. Okay? If no one brings that suit, or a suit in which a court can answer a case or address a case, no case takes place. So in order for a case to happen, there actually has to be a case or controversy that gets brought to the courts. So the short answer in this case is, why isn't there law about this particular area, any particular area, is that the courts haven't had a chance to decide it yet. Someone has to bring that case for the courts to decide it. Okay? Now, in the United States, we have a three-tiered system of federal government. We have the legislative branch, which makes the laws. We have the executive branch, which carries out or executes the laws. And we have the judicial branch, which interprets the law. We're going to spend most of our time during this semester on the judicial branch. All right, we're going to look at court cases. We'll also talk about statutes, which are made by legislatures. We'll also talk about executive orders and the executive branch of the government, particularly when we talk about freedom of information. But most of the law we're going to talk about comes out of the courts or the judicial branch. We're also going to discuss two levels of courts. We have an upper court and a lower court. The lower court is the trial court. That's the first court that usually gets to hear a case. Okay? So if you have a case or a controversy and you bring it to court, you're probably going to bring it to the trial level, either state or federal. In that situation, there'll be two sides to the issue, whether it's criminal or civil. The facts will be established for the appeals levels at the level of the trial court. The trial court establishes the facts. I'm going to say that again. Trial courts establish the facts. In many cases, you might have questions about what would happen if this set of facts were the case or this fact changed. The answer to that is often it'll be up to the jury. They're called jury questions. Juries are responsible for determining what the facts are that drive a case. If there's a question, say, that you and I have a dispute over whether or not I stopped at a stop sign and you rear-ended me or you were going too fast, etc., it would be up to a jury to decide who to believe, me or you. Okay, so a jury question makes it so that juries are determining what the facts are. Okay, so the trial court is the entry-level court, and the appeals or the appellate court takes appeals or challenges from that lower court. Appeals courts really don't care about the facts. There's going to be a couple of cases in libel when we get to Chapter 4 where there'll be a difference, but by and large, appeals courts are responsible for interpreting the law. They take a look at the law and make sure that the law was correctly used by the trial courts. Most of the cases that we're going to spend time on this semester are going to be appellate court cases. Okay? So again, bottom line, trial courts are responsible for deciding or determining the facts of a case, and appeals or appellate courts determine whether or not the law was appropriately applied. Appeals courts don't usually take a look at the facts again. Although, again, in Chapter 4, we'll talk about one small exception. And again, I keep wanting to say questions, but there's nobody here to ask them. So if you've got questions, drop me an email. Okay. We also have two streams of courts. There are federal courts, and there are state courts. We'll start with the federal courts. The federal courts are divided into three levels. First of all, there are federal district courts. Each state has at least one federal district court. California happens to have four of them. Okay? Then there are 12, in the United States, I think it's actually 13, but 12 or 13 circuit courts in the United States, and they hear appeals from the federal district courts. Here in California, we are in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Okay? We share that circuit with Alaska, Arizona, Hawaii, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and Guam. If you're thinking, boy, that's a huge chunk of people, you're absolutely right. Right? One of the cases, one of the situations that has been before the circuit courts is to decide whether or not to split the Ninth Circuit in half and make it into the Ninth, and I believe it would be the Twelfth Circuit. They'd break it in half, usually either north-south or east-west. So far that hasn't happened, but the Ninth Circuit is by far the largest circuit in the country. And again, usually these courts sit in three-judge panels. There are no juries because they don't care about the facts. And sometimes these courts sit en banc, E-N-B-A-N-C, which means all the judges on the panel sit together. Usually in the 12th Circuit, I'm sorry, in the 9th Circuit, that's about 12 judges. And then we have the Supreme Court of the United States, which is the highest court in the land. What about them? Well, there are 9 old men and women. And I joke about them saying that they're old because, by and large, they're pretty old. Okay? The age is getting younger as some of the older justices retire, but by and large, the average age is still about your grandpa's and grandma's age. Okay? Each justice is appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Once they're on the Supreme Court, they're there forever. The only way they can be removed is to be impeached. Okay? And if they're impeached, they can be removed. Or they can, of course, retire or resign. Right now, of course, we've got a Supreme Court appointment in the news. Elena Kagan, who was the first female attorney general, has been appointed by Obama to replace John Paul Stevens. We'll talk about that more in a minute. There are 8 associate justices and 1 chief justice. Chief Justice of the United States right now is John Roberts. He replaced William Rehnquist, who died a couple years ago. The court decides cases it wants to decide. Its caseload is discretionary. If you're discretionary, you're picking and choosing. I either want, you know, a steak for dinner or I want a hamburger for dinner. That's exercising discretion. In this case, the Supreme Court says, I want that case, and that case, and the rest of you, no, I don't want. They pick and choose. There are 9 justices, and if 4 of them decide to hear a case, it's called the Rule of 4, they do something called granting cert. That means they send a letter to the parties saying, we agree to hear your case. The Supreme Court only agrees to hear between 70 and 80 cases a year out of the thousands of requests it gets. So it's not a very large volume court. Okay, a lot of cases are denied cert. Okay? Now, some cases the Supreme Court has to take. They're original jurisdiction cases, and they are the first court to hear the case. Original cases are often when states sue other states. For example, one of the recent original cases was when North Carolina sued South Carolina over the rights to a river running between the states. In those cases, the Supreme Court tends to step in. But most of the cases are discretionary, which means 4 justices have to agree to hear the case, and once they decide to hear the case, then the case is brought before the court. You also might hear the Supreme Court called the Court of Last Resort, which means once you lose there, it's game over, man. You go home. Okay, this is what the current court looks like. Chief Justice Roberts is in the middle there, and Stevens is the oldest Supreme Court justice. He just retired. Then it goes Scalia, Kennedy, and Thomas, then Ginsburg, Breyer, Alito, and Sotomayor. Each justice stands in the place of in which he or she is senior. There have been 3 women on the Supreme Court. 2 are currently there. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor retired a couple years ago. There have been 2 African Americans. Thomas is currently on the Supreme Court, and Thurgood Marshall was on in the 90s. And right now, Stevens has retired, and Elena Kagan, who is currently the Solicitor General of the United States, is under consideration to replace his spot. As of the recording of this in July of 2010, my guess is that she's going to be confirmed. And again, the average age is old, but not as old as it used to be, because some of the elderly justices are now starting to step down. Okay. In the states, every single state is different. We're only going to talk about California because that's where we are. Here in California, we have 3 levels. First, we have the superior courts. If you go to Santa Ana to a trial court, you're in the superior courts. Each county in California has 1 Superior Court. We have 58 of them because we have 58 counties. In California, we divide our courts into two kinds of jurisdiction. More than $25,000, which is general jurisdiction, and limited jurisdiction, which is $25,000 or less. There's also bankruptcy court, family courts, a bunch of other courts. We also have then appeals court system. In California, there are six districts that divide up the 58 counties. And we have, of course, a Supreme Court that is elected. The current Supreme Court is right there. Some of the names show up in your book. Moreno, Werdiger, Chin are still on the Supreme Court. I think Kennard is a couple opinions in your cases in your book as well. They are elected to 12-year terms. They are put on the ballot without opposition, but if they decide to resign, the governor fills, and then they are again put on the ballot without opposition. It's a little bit of a weird system, but that's how it goes. Okay. And here's a graphic description of the court system here in this state. Again, at the bottom, we have the superior courts. And then if you lose there, you can appeal to the courts of appeal, of which there are six districts and about 100 justices. Here in Fullerton, we are in the fourth district, which is in Santa Ana. Then you can go to the California Supreme Court if you lose. And if you lose at the California Supreme Court, you have one more appeal, and that's to the Supreme Court of the United States. That is the only time where you can jump between the streams. Let me explain. When you file a case, you file either in the federal courts, which is on the left on this diagram, or in the state courts on the right. If you file in the state, you must stay in the state until you lose at the state Supreme Court, and then you can jump to the Supreme Court of the United States. If you start on the federal side, you stay on the federal side all the way up to the top. Trying to go between these two sides, no can do. You cannot jump between. You stay state all the side, all the way up to the Supreme Court, or federal all the way up to the Supreme Court. That's the only time you can jump. Okay. Jurisdiction is what court can hear what case. Jurisdiction is something that makes me want to stick needles in my eye. I hate jurisdiction. So we're only going to spend a little bit of time on it. The state courts, we have this, again, in this country, we have a system called federalism. The states have some powers and the federal government has some powers. If you had any sort of political science classes, you understand that there's always a tension between what states' rights are and what the federal government's rights are. Okay? The federal government sort of gets to cherry pick. And the state courts get something called residual jurisdiction, leftover jurisdiction. If the federal government doesn't claim it, the state courts get it. Okay? Murder, robbery, rape, many, many capital crimes fall into state jurisdiction. Kidnapping, students often ask, how about kidnapping? Kidnapping is actually federal because the assumption is that a kidnapper crosses state lines, and when you cross the state lines, you jump into federal jurisdiction. State courts are also permitted to rule on some federal questions. Okay? The federal courts have federal questions. Questions that implicate the Constitution, like the First Amendment, or the Sixth Amendment, all right, that's a fair trial, or the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. And they also have something called diversity jurisdiction. Diversity jurisdiction, I'll go to the bottom here, diversity jurisdiction is basically involved when people from two states sue each other. If I'm from California and I buy a car from somebody right across the border in Nevada, and the car dies and I want to file suit, we might take it to the federal court so that nobody gets to be in their own state venues. Okay, so that's diversity jurisdiction. There are also some areas where the federal government says, mine, and the states don't get to play. Copyright is one of those areas. When we get to Chapter 6, we'll talk more of that. The federal government can do something called federal preemption, or preempt the field. If the federal government says the states cannot play, the states can't play. There is no such thing anymore as state copyright law as of 1978 because Congress has preempted the field. Congress has said there can be no state law in copyright. There can be state trademark law, but there can't be state copyright law. And again, constitutional law like the First Amendment, where that is involved, normally federal law applies.